My name is Jaime Tuscategui, and this is the Player's Box Podcast. I was listening to a podcast the other day about the whole process of failure and how to deal with winning and losing. This podcast was an interview to sports psychologist, Iga Świątek, sports psychologist, and she was explaining and giving some advices to young players and honestly anyone who was listening about how to deal with, you know, losing and winning on the tour or on your club matches or whatever you're competing. And she said, you know, the key here is to keep low expectations, high standards, and kind of like disattaching yourself from ranking, from the result, from the outcome, and actually look more into or put more attention in stuff that you can control, like your habits, filtering your thoughts, your training routines, and all that. So I thought, you know, this quote that Stan Wawrinka has on his arm, which is it's a Samuel Beckett quote, and it says, you know, ever tried, ever failed, no matter, try again, fail better. And I think that quote just came to my mind while I was listening, because I think it gives a really good perspective on how to look at failure. Because it's one thing that we have to remember as tennis players is that, you know, we lose, we're constantly losing every week, and it's kind of like the essence of our sport. You know, there's only one winner at the end of the week, and we have to deal with failure really good if we want to, you know, keep our mind quiet and keep a sane and healthy relationship without sport. So one of the issues here that I think is very difficult, because it should be easier to, once you accept this, that it's part of the sport, it's part of life, that the failing at something is part of the process, of your own process to achieve whatever goal you have set. It should be easy, and we shouldn't be so stressed out. But I think what makes it really hard to balance all that is, you know, we were taught that failing is just something bad. It just doesn't, you know, it's not well seen. And if we were all taught how to fail better from an early age, alongside being bombarded with a well-meaning treatises on the power of goal setting, then, you know, we'd have a lot more people enjoying their pursuit of success on whatever they're doing. Because a healthy attitude towards the role of failure for anyone in the pursuit of a meaningful achievement can be a game changer. But coming back to the quote, the word again insinuates repetition. We will need to try again and again and again, and trying implies action. So we will consistently need to do the things that we feel will lead us to the achievement of our goals. And this continued, you know, constant trying, daily grind will lead to failing at some point. You know, you will fail at something, no matter how much effort you've put. You know, that day it might just not work out, or you're learning something new and you're putting a lot of effort and trying hard every day, but you will fail at some point. And our best attitude will still lead us to failure. Our best intentions will still lead to failure, and our best effort will still result in failure at some point. But every time you're getting closer and closer. So what does feel better mean, and why it's so important? First and foremost, like Daria was saying, Iga, Svetek sports psychologist, feel better means that we are not taking the fact that we have failed personally. We're not taking it personal. We have come to understand and accept that failure is a rite of passage towards success. If you want to feel better, then start by defining what failure actually means to you and what the specific failure is that you're most motivated to achieve. This is important because it allows us to view our performance in which we've failed objectively and clearly. If we take failure personally, then we get too emotional and we'll miss the things that we can do in order to fail better next time. As I said, failure is a rite of passage towards success only when the quality of our failures improve every time. You know, obviously you don't want to fail at doing the same thing over and over and over again, because you will be stuck. In other words, we learn to look at our performance as valuable lessons that get us closer to our goals, our success. You know, so when you feel a little bit lost, which it could happen, you know, throughout the year, remember that this feeling will pass. Failing is part of your progress, and just stick to your goals, go out there, and no matter what, try again, fail better. What separates the best tennis players from everyone else is that they are able to embrace pressure-filled moments and play their best tennis when it really matters. Most tennis players still do not meditate, and many even believe it's a waste of time. However, it is a secret weapon that some of the world's best athletes use to perform at their best in stressful situations. Studies have shown that meditators are able to suppress distracting thoughts and build the mental strength to focus on what's in front of you with greater attention and for longer periods of time, which is a crucial skill for tennis players. Interest in mindfulness has grown recently, but it remains somewhat misunderstood. Mindful meditation involves sitting and practicing the skill of returning your focus to breathing or to the sensations of your body. Gradually, it can become more dynamic, from a body scan to a mindful walk, even a mindful run. You're training yourself to have a relaxed focus in the face of increasing difficulty. It means that when an issue arises in a race or with a teammate or in life more generally, this focused attitude and ability becomes part of your instinctive response. In a match, damaging thoughts and stories can fill players' head. Thoughts like, I can't beat my opponent, I'm not good enough, which can easily, you know, become way more destructive statements like, my coach will drop me from the team, or everyone's disappointed at me. And practicing mindfulness help people defeat negative thoughts by focusing on the task at hand. Mindfulness can improve personal well-being, but it also has a huge effect on sport performance. Being mindful means being completely engaged in the present and flexible to the unfolding moment so that we can make good decisions with mind and body. Saying that, let's close out this episode with a mindful meditation.
When you hear the higher tone, inhale in through your nose. When you hear the lower tone, exhale through your mouth. The tone will slowly get longer over time and be a guide for our breath. Whenever you're ready, let's begin. First, find a comfortable position. Feel free to close your eyes or allow them to softly gaze at something in front of you. Now we're going to invite our mind and body to connect with our breath. Next, take a deep breath in through your nose. And out through your mouth. Allow yourself to simply be present with the tones. There's no need to visualize anything. Simply focus on listening for the change in tone. It's okay if you don't feel immediately relaxed. Just like exercising on some days feel better than others, doing these breathing exercises might not always feel good in the moment, but your mind and body will thank you. What is supposed to happen? You're training your mind by noticing and gently bringing the mind back over and over again. As the chimes start to fade out, slowly allow your natural breath pattern to return. As you feel ready, return to your present physical space. Gently open your eyes or refocus them. Take one last deep breath. notice how you feel. There is no right or wrong way to feel. Simply be aware.
If you like what you heard today, make sure to subscribe, review, or tell a friend about this podcast. By subscribing, you guarantee that each and every episode gets delivered directly to your phone every other Sunday, and you can also follow along on Instagram, which is @theplayersbox. And remember, hitting the ball is really the easiest part.